They feel stuck. They feel their work isn't meaningful. They're angry at their employer. They're angry at their coworkers. They're angry at their leader, when really they're just not taking accountability and they're not feeling empowered to create the life that they want for themselves.
Welcome to the Weekly Leadership Experience, a place for leaders to get inspired, be challenged, and grow. I am your host, Rashad Oberlander. Let's get started. Today's episode of the Weekly Leadership Experience is brought to you by my 7-day Leadership Growth Challenge. It's a free challenge that I've created, and it's delivered by email over the course of 7 days. I've created 7 compelling questions to challenge various aspects of your leadership, the way you lead, and why you lead. Go to rashadoberlander.com and scroll down until you find the 7-day leadership challenge, or look for the link in the show notes. Well, hello, leaders, and welcome to this week's show. Have you ever felt like your purpose is missing something? Or maybe your purpose is even holding you back? That is the subject of today's episode, and I'm joined today by Dr. Benjamin Ritter, founder of Live for Yourself Consulting. Dr. Ben is a leadership, career, and empowerment coach. He's a values geek, national speaker, podcaster, author, mentor, and he is passionate about guiding others in finding, creating, and sustaining a career they love. Dr. Ben joins me today to talk about why your purpose may actually be holding you back. Dr. Ben shares about his personal experience pursuing his purpose, or at least what he thought it was going to be, and finding that pursuing your purpose was actually some of the worst advice he's ever had. Dr. Ben shares about how we can add greater meaning to our purpose and make sure that it is more fulfilling and leads to something lasting. Dr. Benjamin Ritter, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here. Does anyone ever go, man, really? Do I have to be here? Like, why am I on the show?
Not so far. Nobody has said that yet. So I think I'm on a good track record so far.
Wait, where am I? Wait, can you hear me? Is that usually what people say too? Not too. Can you hear me okay? I'm here. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, so far I think we've done all the pre-checks and the pre-flight and everything like that kind of before I hit record. And usually everybody realizes where they're at this point. So again, pretty good so far on the track record.
Yeah, I should have warned you that whenever anyone introduces me to a show, I try to not just go, hey, really, really happy to be here. So I'm happy to add this one to the list of saying I did not just fall in a place.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I am happy to have you here. And I think, Ben, that we have got a pretty interesting subject to talk about. But before we jump into that, maybe let's just start off with a fun fact, something about yourself that maybe most people wouldn't know or might find surprising.
Yeah, I never wanted to be a coach. I still don't even know if that's 100% the case. Coaching for me was something that I did for myself. And I think that's hence why the company is called Live for Yourself. But I was randomly at a bar talking to strangers, because that's what I was doing at that point in my life. I was putting myself in uncomfortable social situations to learn how to be social. And so I was going from table to table, and I randomly started talking to this guy at this one table who stops me mid-sentence and goes, "You need to meet my boss." Literally the next day, I was sitting around a table with his entire team, and I got hired to be a national coach for men on social skills. That was my first ever real job in the coaching world back in 2010. So I got 11 years ago.
So the coach that doesn't want to be a coach becomes a coach across the nation. That's pretty cool origin story, really. Do you also wear a S under your plaid shirt there, Ben?
Yeah, just pull it out. What's funny is I just moved to Austin from Chicago, and the guy that introduced me and got my whole career started, basically, like without him, without that conversation, I would not be here, actually lives here. So we've been friends, but we were able to reconnect more now. So super big shout out to him for bringing my life on a whole different path, which is, I don't think we realize that, where these milestones in life tend not to happen from just action and consistency. Those are great. Those are great for progress. But for when we look at these, our major milestones in our life, it takes a little bit of serendipity. It takes a little bit of luck, and you have to be open to that luck. And then magic happens. And you look back, you know, 10 years later, 11 years later, and you're just like, okay, wow, that moment was really critical to my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of put on some, like, people have blinders on sometimes. And I think I've been there where you're so focused on, like, the next goal or the next achievement or the next career step that you kind of, you miss out on some of those options that come your way.
Yeah, or you keep changing your mind so often, no one knows who you are, what you stand for. Mm-hmm. So they don't give you an opportunity, you never actually create those moments in your life.
Definitely. Well, that's really cool. So let's jump into a little bit about the main kind of body of the podcast today, why purpose is holding you back. Now, you talk about having found your purpose early on in college, which I think a lot of people sometimes struggle with. But then you say you have also then lost the importance of life. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. Who told me the definition of purpose when I was in school? I need to go take them to the schoolyard and beat them up because I'm kind of I don't fight, but that anyways, man, I misdefined purpose. I thought it was just something you dedicated your life to. And for me, for whatever reason, I chose soccer. I mean, I loved it. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I truly thought it was going to be my everything at the time, but I made it my everything. So that means that I practiced 3 times a day. The only thing I watched on TV was soccer. I didn't really hang out with people. I didn't really go out to parties or have fun. Everything I did in my life was to get better, to the point where I realized that practicing could only make me so much better skill-wise, but I could also eat a certain way and I could work out a certain way. So that changed my entire diet. That I went to the gym consistently. And this is when I was like 15. This is even before college started. And then you can imagine, do that for 5 or 6 years, maybe more. I was playing soccer for longer than that, but do it for 5 or 6 years. Don't achieve the outcomes you want. Still believe it's your purpose. Basically have this stubbornness attached to it. Have all your validation come from the thing that you care about and be failing at it. You could imagine what sort of mental and emotional and state I was in. And it was, like, reflecting back on it, I can't believe I put myself through that. That was just self-punishment. I was a mess, to be honest. I was a mess. And then when I lost that purpose, meaning when I finally realized I wasn't going to achieve it, which was a very tough decision and involved a few different events. One, trying to switch schools to get a better position on a team in college, having a promise of being on that team, going there for summer, training the entire time with an injury, not getting on the team, basically. Having a scholarship stripped away from me, having basically being lied to, having to then kind of swallow my pride, you know, away from home, sell all the stuff I just bought to live there, move back, go back to the team that I was previously on, try to get back on, be told no because I left them, then finally get a surgery I needed to fix something that was wrong with me. So I had hip surgery a day before my 21st birthday, and then heal and then fly to London for 6 months to try to make it there, basically fail or basically be told I need to stay there, or, you know, if I don't stay there and keep playing, then it's done. And but then I wouldn't finish school, so I had to make the decision to finish school. So come back. So basically now I'm saying, okay, it's done. I'm not going to make it. I tried a few times, and then realizing I don't know who I am. I have barely any friends. I have no social skills because I didn't make that a priority. I have no idea what I care about at all, and I've spent all this time and energy on something that is now gone. That was such a journey in my life that basically led me to the belief of the worst advice I ever was given was to find my purpose. And that's the short version of the long story of my first run-in with purpose. I've had a few other run-ins with it at the time, though.
Mm. Well, that's a interesting and, you know, kind of a compelling story in that, like, I can resonate with, you know, kind of getting knocked down and knocked down and knocked down, but you're kind of really convinced that you're on the right path and you just kind of keep going ahead. But with that, like, you're talking about, you know, having misdefined purpose, you have kind of been following this path and then, you know, acknowledging that that was not it. But, like, are you saying don't follow your purpose, or what do you mean here?
Yeah, I want to add a little bit more color to this story because after that point in time, I made it my goal. I basically started investing all of myself into myself for the first time ever. Not an external achievement, not something I thought I had to succeed in, but into me. And that's where I said I never wanted to be a coach. I just wanted to develop. And so I started studying and learning everything that related to how to be a social, attractive, successful human being. And that led me to having a pretty good life, having good friends, having good relationships, being, you know, fairly successful professionally, but in a career I didn't actually want, because I've tried for a few times getting a specific job, being passionate about something that I thought I was passionate about, not defining it as my purpose. In the middle of a recession, finally falling into a position in healthcare, but I grew in that field. I ended up as an executive, but I never really took the energy that I spent investing in myself and realized that I could also invest it in my professional life, that I also could have exactly what I wanted in my professional life. I just kind of was reactive to what happened. So then I ended up in an organization, in a job where I thought they were supposed to give me meaning, that they were supposed to give me purpose, and I wasn't getting it from them. So instead of being angry at myself like I was before, I was angry at them. And I was, you're the one that's wrong. I need to get out of here. I stopped volunteering for specific projects. I distanced myself from people that I was working with. I basically had 2 feet out the door and was just trying to do the littlest amount possible. I was super disengaged. And that led me to become more resentful of the position, of the job itself. And again, I created an environment that was just fuming with negativity around this idea of them not giving me something to care about or feel purposeful for or passionate about. And which is funny, I didn't connect my beliefs from my personal life to my professional life. And I wanted to state this story too, because a lot of people I work with are in this space. They feel stuck. They feel their work isn't meaningful. They're angry at their employer. They're angry at their coworkers. They're angry at their leader, when really they're just not taking accountability and they're not feeling empowered to create the life that they want for themselves. And with these two stories in place, I'm happy to share my beliefs on purpose a little bit further, but I'll pause for a second to see if you have any comments or can relate to any of it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. And I think I've been in those very similar shoes myself, and kind of like my earlier comment, like you're so convinced you're on the right path and you're so convinced that this is the right step. And I think particularly, I mean, I kind of think of it as in terms of like someone who was, 14 or 15, and I thought that, this was the thing that I was going to do for the rest of my life. And I've kind of stepped into that a few times over the course of my career from a teenager and up. I was like, oh man, this is my business. I started my business. This is the business I'm going to be in for the rest of my life. And it was like, I did it for a while, but then realized that, no, I don't actually want to, continue doing this forever. And it's kind of that, like you say, like you begin to kind of create either it's negativity or you distance yourself from what's going on, stuff like that. So I totally, totally resonate with what you're saying.
Yeah. What was so amazing about the journey when I reflect back on it was initially I defined my purpose and it was the most important thing in the world. It was more important than me. And that failed miserably, despite learning a lot about myself and growing and getting into the coaching field because of it. But from then on, I really thought that this advice of find your purpose was so misleading, that your purpose is supposed to be what you dedicate your life towards, when in actuality, you have created your purpose. So you are greater than your purpose, and that your purpose shouldn't actually be a negative thing ever. If it ever is, then you need to reflect on what level of importance you're placing on it, how you're defining it, and how you are also, putting it on a pedestal in comparison to who you are as a human being, what life truly means. And then I go into this professional world where I actually believe that purpose is just whatever. Purpose is something to create happiness. And it's not even really purpose. It's what are your, what are really your values? What do you care about? And that didn't come up for a little bit, so I'm skipping ahead. But let's say that purpose isn't something that you should dedicate your life towards. It's more so, where am I having fun? What do I want to learn? What challenges do I want to face? What am I actually passionate about? What do I care about? How do I do that at any point in time in my life? And so I ended up in a career that I didn't really choose because of my own decisions on what to accept, what not to accept. And I was in this job. Initially, I really liked it because I was in the quality department impacting people, patient outcomes. But when I was promoted into this executive level role, I lost all of that. And I didn't know because I wasn't caring about purpose. I wasn't creating it myself. I was reacting to my environment and taking joy from it. And I didn't know how to recreate it. I didn't know how to make myself see meaning from my current environment. I didn't know how to volunteer for certain types of work. I didn't see the value in connecting with people if I thought I was already going to leave the position. And so that's when I became resentful. And that's actually when I took a step back and realized, oh, I'm the one in control. And I just gave away my control again. I gave away my control when I was playing soccer. I gave away my control when I was in this professional environment. When in actuality, all I needed to do is take a step back, ask myself what I cared about, ask myself what my values were, where how this position actually created meaning for myself, who and what relationships I wanted to engage with, and have clarity in terms of where I was going within the next stages in my career and why where I was so important. And instead, all I did was just create negativity and resentment and say, they're not doing what I need them to do for me, instead of what do I need to do for myself? And so that's kind of how my ideas of purpose evolved to the point where, you know, how you define purpose and the power that you give to something outside of yourself or an emotion you feel within yourself can steer you off course. And it did that to me, and I see it happening to all of my clients and to a lot of people that are new. This happens it could be an entry-level employee to a senior executive that have just kind of given their power away throughout their career and have never fully accepted that they're the ones that are in control of it.
Mm. So, yeah. And so it's not so much about not following your purpose as being thoughtful and considerate of what goes into what actually creates purpose and the things that, like you say, you're passionate about and you care about and you want to be challenged by and what impact you want to have, and bundling it up in that rather than just kind of making a faux pas statement about what you perceive your life's purpose to be.
Yeah. And understanding that your life's purpose, it's literally something that was created based on a variety of experiences that you had in your life. And it's something that you attribute meaning to, period. So again, it's not some magical thing that fell out of the universe and landed inside you. It is something that you are giving emotions to. And if you changed your environment and you changed your experiences and you went out of your comfort zone, what you care about, what you think is your purpose, may actually evolve and change. And so please remember, whatever you are dedicating your life to, it is a choice. And a lot of people like to use the word calling, they could say, what legacy are you going to leave? But honestly, it is completely and utterly something that you are choosing to spend your time on. And so why should you sacrifice who you, like other parts of your life, who you are as a human being, the other things you want to accomplish for something that you have created for yourself? And it's a lot of times people say, well, I have to keep doing this. I have to accomplish this. And it's your purpose is actually supposed to give you that motivation. It's supposed to be something that is a never-ending pot of energy, of fun, of struggle, of challenge. And so, of course, you're never going to feel like you're done. And too often people see, if I don't feel like I'm done, if I don't feel like I've accomplished this, then I'm not good enough, or I'm not complete, or I have to keep doing this. And so then people end up drained, or they end up hating their purpose in this love-hate relationship with it. And then, like you said, it goes back to how you define it and how that definition can really steer us in the wrong directions.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it, like, that's, I think what we, I would really like to dive into a little bit here is, you know, it's steering in the wrong direction and you kind of talking about purpose holding you back. So, is it around the belief system that we hold, or is it around a different number of factors? And then what is it holding us back from?
Mm-hmm. So first off, I think people think it's like how people define love, I think is actually a pretty good example. And with purpose and love, it's, I am going to feel this way. I think we've glamorized purpose. It's going to always feel like this. If it doesn't feel like this, then it's not my purpose, or it's not something I should care deeply enough about. Well, we all are still going to have highs and lows in our life. And so if you care about something and you're passionate about it and it connects to who you are at your core, then that doesn't change. And often we go, well, our purpose is achieving this status. I want to be a CEO. That's my purpose. That doesn't make any, or I want to create a multi-million-dollar company. That's my purpose. No. Those are achievements. Those are things that you want to those are accomplishments you want to have within your life, not actually what you care about as a human being. There's some component of that achievement that you care about, and you can break that down to its keywords, such as a challenge. I want to consistently be challenged. I want to have novelty. I want to apply strategic thinking. But if instead you're focusing on the status of it, or the, you know, that which is outside of your control, then you're preparing yourself for failure. And you're giving yourself a negative purpose. I guess we can call a positive purpose negative purpose. You're giving yourself a negative purpose. And often we define in a way that isn't serving purpose as something that is achievement based or it's in the future. When really your purpose, and I'll tie it into values again, your purpose, which represents your core values, is something for you to find happiness in the present. And so with that, those major beliefs are, I think, what I'd love for everyone to try to transition and try to accept initially.
So if I'm understanding, like when we talk about purpose, we need to stop thinking about purpose so much as something that we can achieve and something that is a destination, and it's much more of a journey and something that will sort of, it transcends time almost.
It's very much a way of living. And so everyone says find your purpose. And the reason why I say it's the worst advice ever given is because it's not actually your purpose. It's who you are at your core. It's your personal brand. And so we cling on to this idea of purpose as something that we're going to be given from something, or something that we're going to create into the world, when honestly, it's just something within us that we care about.
Right.
And if it's something within us that we care about, I like to define it as values, which are the core attitudes and beliefs that you have as a human being. And those can be activated at any time, despite a job, despite a business. For example, my top three values, the first one's health, which can be broken down into mental, spiritual, physical, and emotional, as well as the confidence in thyself, which is how I define that value, that keyword for myself, which is important. Whenever I conduct a values workshop with clients or with groups of individuals, it's, you find these keywords, but then you have to personalize them and define them for who you are and how you see them activating into your current environment. And so the other two would be openness and trust, honesty, trust. And so that's also partially fairness and justice. And I can live those. I don't have to be a coach to influence my own health, other people's health. I don't have to be a coach to show up with honesty, trust, to be fair, to surround myself with people that are fair. And I don't have to be a coach to be open with the people around me, to be curious about ideas and information and individuals that I meet. Now, I'm going to be happier if I'm doing a profession that allows me a greater opportunity to integrate those values into my life. But what I do is not dependent. Like my happiness is not dependent on what I'm creating, more so on how I'm showing up.
I think that's a really important distinction and something that, we all should take note of. A little bit of a kind of a, I don't know, I guess the devil's advocate kind of question. I've seen certain advice when it comes to purpose for people that are like either struggling to quote unquote find their purpose, right? I know we don't want to use that exact word, but they're looking for their purpose. They're on a journey of finding, discovering whatever purpose is for them. And it's like, well, if you don't know, be the best husband or father or a husband or wife or father or mother, or, you know, be the best that, and that is like your purpose. What do you think about that kind of advice?
Oh, I work with, like I said, all ages that come to me and they say, I don't know what I care about. I don't know who I am. Great. Other than exploring who you have been to figure that out, how do we go explore who you're not or who you could be? And so, yes, a lot of times people that don't know who they are, it's because they've flooded their lives with things to do. Like they're stuck in their to-do list. They're drowning in work. They're drowning in after-hour activities. And they're not actually present as a husband. They're not present as a father. You know, they are not giving themselves space to think and to reflect. So 100%, I think, yes, it's great to dedicate your time to the things in your life, to instead of seeing the things around you as your enemy, to see them as something that you can gain value from. But often the individuals that don't know who they are, it's because they haven't lived enough. They haven't given themselves permission to explore. And I can't tell you how often I tell my clients, you are now the captain of your ship. Put on that captain's hat and set sail. There is no right direction. There is just exploring, and it's giving individuals, again, the accountability to go find out. And we don't do that enough. I feel we worry that we're going to get fired from our jobs that we hate if we set boundaries. We give ourselves 5 or 6 different hobbies that we should be doing. We busy our life with chores. It's just, if you don't know who you are, the only way to find out is to actually take a step back out of what you're doing. And then go test a bunch of stuff out. I remember I was sitting, I had office hours. I used to, I still do, but when we were still able to be in person at the time, I'd have office hours for like high school and new college students and stuff. And I just kind of chat with them and try to help them out. And 90% of the time they were concerned because they didn't know exactly what they wanted to do in life. I don't know about you. When I reflect back on what I wanted to do in life, I mean, I shared it with you. I am nowhere near that at all. And I don't know many people that are. I do a lot of workshops on the career sweet spot and career planning and figuring out what you want to do next. And I always ask what they wanted to be as a kid. Once, maybe twice out of hundreds of people, maybe 1,000, I think I've met probably over 1,000 now people that I've given this workshop to, are not who they wanted to be at all. Mm-hmm. So long answer to the question, but it's go exploring.
Well, yeah. And I think that is something, again, that we kind of lose as we mature, right? Because I think that, the spirit of youth is very exploratory, and I have young kids and it's like from one thing to the next, like I can't keep track of the conversation sometimes with my young kids, right? Where they're just exploring and they're having fun and they're figuring life out at their level where they are, right? And the more we grow, sometimes the more we lose that, but I also like what you're saying, and it reminds me of what I've seen Gary Vee say, because Gary Vee gets a lot of youth coming to him asking for advice, right? And one of the things he's commonly asked is like, I don't know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what I like. I don't know what I should do. And he's like, well, why should you know what you like or are passionate about? Like, you won't know until you start going out and tasting things, right? And you find out what you like and you don't like. So just go taste stuff, right?
And often we're just afraid. Like when it comes down to it, We're afraid of what we may find. We're afraid of telling no to people. We're afraid of how they're going to judge us and what people are going to think of us. And we're afraid of telling ourselves that we're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I decided that I wasn't happy with who I was and that I needed to fix it. All of a sudden, the ideas of right and wrong disappeared. I think that's so important when you're exploring. It is just, you are just, like you said, and I love this, tasting life. You may not like this, you may like that. You may kind of like this. Maybe you're going to have seconds of that and explore. You have seconds, but you don't really like it. And what's so neat about this is they found out, and I say they because I don't remember the exact study, but when you do things that aren't related to your normal habits, you end up giving your brain, you end up utilizing your brain in a new way. Your brain likes things to be the same. Why? Because it uses less energy. So if I tell my story repeatedly, my brain goes down the pathway to tell my story. It knows how to tell it. Nothing's new. But if someone asks me a different question about a different time in my life and tells me to frame my story in that way, now I have to go down a different path and create a new neural network. And all of a sudden now I'm going to learn something about myself I didn't know prior to it because my brain can't automatically go down this path. So if you have a routine in your life, and you're unsure about what your, we'll say purpose again, purpose is, the greatest thing you can do is mess up that routine. Get as much as possible, not as much as possible, probably give yourself a little, because that's probably cause you a little bit of stress, but start changing things, doing things you wouldn't normally do, because that's when the epiphanies can happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just thinking, reflecting on people that I've spoken to on this podcast. And like, I always like to ask people about their story, right? Or their, what their path, what led them to this point? Why did they become a coach? Or why did they become whatever the thing is that they are? And so often, a lot of times the journey or the path where they are now is different to where they were. And it's usually some point in history where something happened, whether it's significant or maybe it was a small series of events, you know, kind of similar to yours where, you know, there was a series of events that led you to, you know, decide that soccer was no longer, you know, your path at that point, right? And so you became kind of on this other path. And so it is very much true. I think what you're saying is, you know, giving yourself opportunities for that mess to occur. And give your brain an opportunity to create new pathways.
Yeah, anywhere you are in your life, there'll be a series of events to lead you to somewhere unexpected. But if you don't start trying to have those series of events, you're never going to get to the unexpected. Like when I was coaching for the first time, I didn't like the company. I branched off. And this is when I was actually a dating and relationship coach. I said I was a men's coach. And so I wanted to write a book. I was unhappy with the material in the world. So I wanted to get my word out there, my what I believed was important. So I wrote a pocketbook. I published it. I realized no one was going to buy it because I didn't have a brand. So then I had to learn how to create a coaching company. So I created a coaching company, wrote for a bunch of different places. A guy that I knew at the time, really great professional, wanted to partner with me. So we partnered, created a company, launched a podcast, did that for 5 years. The whole time, I actually didn't want to have that company. I didn't like being that type of coach. I told you, I didn't want to be a coach. I just wanted to add some value to the world. And so I was fighting against my gut instinct. And so eventually when we were talking, but our conversations were important. They taught me how to create a coaching company. They taught me how to write. They taught me how to create a podcast. I was on podcasts. They taught me how I was speaking pretty consistently. They taught me how to sell a service-based business. But we were sitting there talking one day and I was kind of unhappy. And we were talking about some of the major issues in relationships and in life. And I go, it's values. It's all values. The reason why we have all this conflict is because of value misalignment. So that led me to create a company, Interfaith Relationship Workshops, where I would go out to colleges and give values workshops. It was totally not even what I'm doing at all. But values were the cornerstone of the LIV system. Life, intentions, values, expectations, live for yourself consulting. And that would never have developed without those experiences. You know, without being unhappy in health in the hospital, I never would have went back to get my doctorate. I never would have been on a plane to learn about organizational leadership and studying about job satisfaction, getting passionate about career pathing, and develop this new company on the back of a napkin flying to like my second class. And so again, it's like this idea of taste life, right? To figure out what you really want to eat and then indulge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I really do. I want to talk a little bit about now, like we've kind of painted a really good picture, I think, Ben, of you know, purpose misdefined. It's being attributed the wrong way, like it's being defined the wrong way. It's holding us back from experiencing life in a bigger way and all these other things. So what are the things that you recommend? What are the things maybe you work on with your clients in terms of, you know, aligning purpose, achievement, satisfaction, meaning, and not falling into this trap?
The first step to all of it is clarity. And so this goes along with the three C's of self-leadership. I was working with a lot of clients on just getting stuff done, getting out of their own way. And there were three main traits that ended up leading a client to success. And it all starts with clarity. If you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling like you don't know what decisions to make, if you're feeling you're doing something wrong, but you don't know what, it's about making space to start exploring how you've lived. And so I'd ask everyone to go back and kind of do a life map in terms of the ups and the downs, and to explore some of the memories that might be a little bit more hidden, to see where you've been happy, where you've been sad, where you've been passionate, where you've been excited. And that just helps you learn a little bit more about yourself. And we don't usually give ourselves that space to do that. And with that information, we can get some hints of where we want to invest more of our time. And this is going to require us to start saying no to some of the things that we don't enjoy. So it also requires us to do a hard audit of where we're spending our time and who we're spending our time with, and then cut some of that stuff away, because you're going to have to then start using some of that time, that free time, to explore some of the things that you think you might enjoy more, some of the causes that you think you care about, to actually figure out, well, what are the list of potential careers, the list of potential careers that really get you excited, the types of work that you truly do like working on, the challenges that you want to face in the near future. So basically, you're doing all this work on just getting an understanding of yourself, an understanding of what you like, what you don't like, what drains you, what energizes you, who you are, what might you want to actually do. And with that picture, with that information, you could start creating a structure and process. So you can say, okay, with this information, what do I want to accomplish this year? And it could just be test out five things, right? Connect with 10 people in this industry, learn about what they do. And then you can create a two-year goal, a three-year goal, et cetera. But you take those goals and then you break them down further into daily habits. So if I have a goal of connecting with people within the consumer packaged goods, health and wellness, venture capitalist space, this is actually one of my goals. For me to get involved into that space, not just connected, but involved, okay, so that's my annual goal. I need to start connecting with people in that space. So my monthly goal was try to connect with 15 people, because then you'll get like a couple people that actually respond. Another goal was get involved as a mentor. So that happened. But I was able to break those down into daily goals, so I know that I'm on track, I'm experiencing life, I have clarity of what I'm tasting, what I'm experiencing, and that leads to some potential opportunities. With that clarity, then we can move into the other pieces. But that's the first important part. I don't want to overwhelm everyone, because that's actually a really, really big part that does take usually a month and a half of weekly coaching to get a really good understanding of who you are and what you want to work on and how are you going to get there.
Yeah. Well, gaining clarity is huge. Really big. Could you touch on the couple of C's there?
Yep. So the next one would be confidence, and clarity actually ends up becoming confidence. If you've ever walked into a room and been afraid of what people think of you, I promise you, your issue isn't confidence, it's clarity. And so once you develop a certain level of clarity, you have a certain level of confidence. But at times, if you haven't done something before, haven't given yourself permission to explore these types of things, you're still going to have a lot of self-doubt. There's going to be some your inner critic is going to have a pretty strong grip on your psyche. So it involves you basically you confronting the limiting beliefs that you have of yourself. I'm not good enough. I can never be a leader. Leaders' lives are exhausting and stressful, and they can't have families or whatever you believe. I can never launch that business. Something like myself would never be successful. I'm stupid. I'm not smart enough. Those beliefs need to be confronted, and they need to be reframed into something more positive, because those beliefs are impacting your actions. And so if you have these beliefs, they're going to limit you severely in terms of what you actually can accomplish and what you can take action on. So confidence in itself is two things. It's self-efficacy and self-esteem, which means that, so how do you believe in yourself, and do you believe you can actually do the thing that you want to do? So after you confront your beliefs, at the same time too, or right after, you need to actually start building skill sets. Like, for example, a lot of people come to me asking about coaching, but I've never read a book on coaching. You need to go study. You need to go listen to podcasts. You need to go buy the books or buy the books from the courses and read those books, buy some of the top 10 books, go through all those books. And it's amazing how many people don't do that and don't even practice. Go coach for free. Because if you have clarity, but you haven't built the skills, and you will never feel confident. If you don't feel confident, you won't feel comfortable. If you don't feel comfortable, you won't take action. And then so after confidence comes the action, comes control. It's basically, how are you intentionally putting into effect the things that you know you care about and what you want to do with your life? So that means changing the people you connect with, building a community around yourself, setting structure, setting specific time during the week you're going to do certain things, as well as redefining the expectations that you have for yourself, so you're not just all the time trying to work, from 6 in the morning to midnight. It's, I understand that success as a leader is, 2 years in this job or something like that, or 3 years. And so you're setting the proper expectations for yourself at the same time as well.
Wow. Those are really powerful ideas. And I'd love to talk for hours with you about those three things alone. But in respect of your time, let's just recap real quick. We have clarity, we have confidence, and we have control. And these are some of the tools that we have at our disposal to really kind of take charge of the things that are important and really defining our purpose in a greater way, in a better sense, and something that is going to fulfill and help us move forward, not hold us back.
Mm-hmm. It's stepping into your superpower, so to speak, in your brand. And feeling confident that you can do those things and putting it into action. I have had a client who wanted to become a director in a specific field and didn't really know if he could or how to do it. He's basically getting feedback that he was not respected enough. He didn't have enough exposure, that he didn't have a brand. And so we worked together to gain clarity on what his brand was. Mind you, he had over 20 years of experience in a specific field and didn't actually feel like he had a brand or know what he really cared about. So that was interesting to actually dive into, because his own limiting beliefs were that he isn't good enough, that he could not achieve this next step, that he didn't know what his strengths were. And then using that information to then start actually displaying his expertise within meetings, to set up connections and step ladder meetings with higher ups and such, to talk about projects that he's working on in regards to their own goals. So that, with that confidence, he was able to take those actions and to set specific weekly to-dos to ensure that he was building relationships, displaying his brand, solidifying his brand within the organization. And that in itself built, greater happiness within himself, greater fulfillment. He felt like he was on a specific path instead of floating. And he ended up, he's being put up for promo really soon, ended up getting a really great performance review. And that's something that's just really small, right? The way that I described it doesn't really encompass everything we discussed, but it is sometimes these little switches to flick to say, okay, who am I? What are my strengths? How do I ensure that I show up and live that on a daily basis? People recognize that. And then how do I ensure that I'm also working towards the goal that I set for myself? And if you have these traits, you can do that for anything in your life, for any question, for anything that you're facing, because they tend to be very foundational.
Yeah, I love that. I love that story. And I love how you described as stepping into your superpower. So that's really cool. Thank you, Ben. As we wrap up here, what would be, we've covered a lot of ground, so I just want to know, like, what would be the one thing you would want to leave with the listeners about our conversation today?
The most important leader is the one that's inside you, and we forget that. We look to other people to lead us, when in actuality, usually the leaders around us just inspire us to do something that we could have done ourselves anyways. And so if we can take the reins and go, okay, I'm responsible, then you can make anything happen.
Yeah, that's really cool, really powerful. So leading yourself is super important. So, I mean, you could add more to that, or maybe there's something else you wanted to say, but one of my last two questions for every guest, what is one thing you know about life or leadership that you wish everyone knew?
Again, I have to say, it is about leading yourself. Nobody cares and nothing matters. If that makes, I know that those are really blanket statements, but it's the truth. Nobody cares and nothing matters. And so what do you want to experience? What do you care about experiencing? And how do you create that for yourself? And often we're just so scared what other people are going to think and how we can't say no to somebody. But I promise you, nobody cares and nothing really matters. So you might as well enjoy the moments you have in your life and create the challenges that you want to face.
Really good advice, Ben. When it's all said and done, what three words do you want used to describe your life?
Oh, this was tough. I'll tell you, this is tough because I wanted to say my values that I shared earlier. This one's really tough because I really wanted to say, oh, I want someone to say he, you know, impacted health and is trusting and open. But it, honestly, if I was to move this away from my selfishness for a moment and the live for yourself, and really to encompass a live for yourself brand, it's, I want people to say accountability, empowerment, and curiosity. And if everyone is able to feel accountable, feel empowered, and approach life with curiosity, I think you could lead yourself fairly well.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that my question challenged you to rethink your response. So I appreciate that. This has been a really fun conversation, Ben, and really insightful, very thoughtful. There's a lot of stuff that I took away from our conversation. So thank you. And before we close, why don't you tell folks where they can connect with you?
Yeah, please. And by the way, this was wonderful. Thank you for having me and going back and forth with this and challenging some things and really fleshing out some of these, you know, these topics. And it can be a lot because these developed through how many years of experiences, right? 35 years of experiences. And so for someone to hear them, you might say, I don't believe in that. Or, oh yeah, that's what I needed to hear. But ultimately, just I hope you were open. Some people were, you know, listeners were open and enjoyed the conversation. If you want to keep the conversation going and want to hear more, go to liveforyourselfconsulting.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Dr. Benjamin Ritter. Send me a message.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ben, for joining me today. Everyone, check out the show notes at rashadoberlander.com. This has been an excellent conversation with Dr. Benjamin Ritter, exploring our purpose and why it's holding us back. Thanks again, Dr. Ben, and we'll see you next time.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, would you head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, leave me a rating, leave me a review, and share this with a friend. It spreads the word and helps the podcast grow. You can also find me on social media at R.E. Oberlander. Until next time, stay awesome.